Jesus teaches us in many different ways. Sometimes he uses parables, and we can name a bunch of those. Parable of the lamp, of the sower, kingdom of God parables. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, like yeast in a dough, like a hidden treasure. The prodigal son, the good Samaritan. We could go on, for our Lord did teach in parables often. The Lord also showed us many things too. Perform miracles. Today's gospel, brothers and sisters, is not a parable. Today's gospel, indeed today's readings, ask us to reflect on the source and summit of our faith, the Eucharist. In the first reading, the book of Genesis with Melchizedek, the offering of bread and wine by the king of Salem, a priestly sacrifice prefiguring what we do here. Then in the gospel, as Jesus gives a foretaste of what will soon be with his feeding of the large crowd with five loaves, and then there are 12 wicker baskets of fragments left over. And the authoritative teaching given by Christ at the Last Supper, handed down to St. Paul to continue the instruction which we practice and hand on today. The real presence of Jesus Christ, given to us by him for forgiveness, for strength in the battle, for the transformation and conversion of our very lives. So who was Melchizedek? Some hold that he was in fact Shem, son of Noah. For who else could put a blessing on Abram that links him to the patriarchs of old? We are told in the reading that he is the king of Salem, a word for peace. Also, an early name for the city of Jerusalem. And he has a priestly function, which we hear David taking up upon his ascension to the kingship of Israel and taking his seat in Jerusalem, as he is seen providing priestly offerings in the second book of Samuel. And as the son of David, from his line, Jesus our Savior assumes and perfects the priesthood of Melchizedek. And the priesthood of Jesus Christ, which he shows us in our gospel today, has abundance. He takes, blesses, breaks, and gives. Only from the divine can this be done. Only God has the power to give so abundantly from so little. For us priests, our role is reflected in the apostles, who are saying essentially, how are we going to feed all these people with this? Tell them to go home. No, Jesus says, with me all things are possible. So he takes, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives. And in a foreshadowing of what the deacon and the servers and I do at the end of communion, we gather, we reverently return to the tabernacle, we purify to make sure that no speck of the Lord goes to waste, just as the apostle gathered those 12 wicker baskets. And this was just a foreshadowing, one done to strengthen the faith of the apostles for the privilege that they would soon receive. What is handed down to St. Paul, what he writes so eloquently of, what Peter and the apostles witnessed, what then they did and handed down to other men, down to the priests that you see today. This is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, transforming bread and wine by his words given by a humble priest. A miracle in our sight at every Mass we attend. In the use of bread and wine, Jesus could have picked any other way to do this. He picks basic food and drink, readily available in all generations. Bread, simple but nourishing. Wine, simple but inebriating. And then we recall the Last Supper, the words that I will humbly and oft-filled use very shortly. This is my body, this is my blood. All priests have been set apart, not set above, but set apart, ordained by a bishop's laying on of hands to perform this special task. Commanded by Jesus with his words and with the bread and wine he himself gives. And with that, under the form of bread and wine, it becomes his body. It becomes his blood. And these simple things become life-giving. Now, with all that said, there's an onus being put upon us just like it was being put on the apostles. First, to believe that this is what Jesus' miracles were about, the feeding of the large crowds, the healing of the sick and the blind, so that we might believe Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Word incarnate. Then to deepen that belief by absorbing his teachings in the scriptures. And finally, to demonstrate that belief by humbly coming forward, reverently coming forward to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. St. James tells us in his letter that faith without works is dead. So how are we coming forward to receive our Lord Jesus? And let me start this section by saying, anything I say is not meant to be an indictment of you personally or this parish in general. I've been here over a little over a year. What I've seen is very much a reverent community of worshipers. So please take this as it is meant, a general and gentle reminder of how we ought to receive our Lord. And know this, I am very much one of you when I use examples. And the only reason I have examples is because I've done many of the things I'm about to mention and warn about. I've heard it said, and I've felt this too, it is sometimes difficult for us to see Christ in the Eucharist before we come forward to receive communion. Then the counter to that statement is how difficult it is for Christ to be seen in me after I've received him. Now, because you and I are Catholic, especially those of us who are cradle Catholics, we have been to thousands of masses. We know the prayers. We know the progression. We can be lulled into taking Jesus' body and blood for granted. At first, we get lulled into glossing over the readings to start clock watching, to let outside distractions take center stage. Maybe it requires us to leave our phone in the car if that's a temptation. Maybe we're being invited to do a little scripture reading outside of the Mass. And if we have questions, maybe ask those in an email or a quick chat afterwards. Perhaps we are late arrivers. We are still carrying our day with us when Mass begins, and we need to be more intentional about arriving earlier. Definitely, for all of us, our Lord is asking for an examination of what we believe the Eucharist is and how we demonstrate that belief. Do we fast for an hour before receiving communion? Have we committed a mortal sin and not confessed it? One thing, and something haunts is kind of the wrong word, but it strikes a proper fear in me, is that, again, I've demonstrated some of these things that I've mentioned above at some point in my life. It's not something I'm proud of, and it wasn't because I was unaware that it was wrong. It was because I, in my pride, wanted things to be the way that I wanted them to be, not the way Jesus made them, not the way the Church teaches them. You and I have been given this supreme gift, the Eucharist, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That gift, like all, comes with obligations. It requires giving up some conveniences. It requires repentance. It requires belief. But brothers and sisters, the reward that is offered for this gift that is given, let us not today and not ever take it for granted.